Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 7th, 2015. Sound of the shofar. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So really, it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. Excuse me. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, and I guess we're international if you consider the internet, because we are simulcast at the same time on the internet, and it goes to podcasts. We, speaking of podcasts, our program archives, which are podcasts, can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have a Apple and an Android app, you know, so you can, no matter what kind of cell phone you got, you can put the app in, and it makes it easier to listen to programs. But mind you, you don't have to download anything at any place. You can just go to either place and hit a button that says play, and the programs will just stream to you live. Or if you go to the branch or the main radio archives at branch.podomatic.com, which, by the way, there is a link. As soon as you get to the page, you'll see a picture that has an angel blowing a horn, and it's over the world, and there's a asteroid hitting the earth, and it says End Time Radio Archives. If you just click on that link, it'll take you to that branch site, and then there's links to download it. All kinds of things. Anyway, and a description of the program. And I challenge you to please share this radio program with two or three other people, because the more people that listen, the more people get warned. And also, it blesses the Mission Church, because, you know, it takes a couple of things. You know, the percent of people that we're not getting rich, and we're not trying to, but if you consider, it's not like everybody says, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to donate. Most people consider radio free, and they don't donate to it, and so on and so forth. So it takes a lot more listeners to get out of that, to find a few that the Father works on their heart, and they make donations to support the Wichita Mission Church and to support airtime, because supporting airtime is supporting the Wichita Mission Church, because that's what supports it. Anyway, enough about support. Let's get a prayer, and let's bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray the radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, and not our guest's will, Father, but please, your will. And please, give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, please bless this program tonight in your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. The day of the Lord is at hand. Well, tonight's guest, that's the name of one of his books. He also has another book, two new books, one, volume one and volume one called, Search the Scriptures, Out of the Darkness, and volume two, You Shall Know the Truth. I haven't had a chance to read them. He just sent them to me, but, If it's anything like The Day of the Lord is at Hand, they're fantastic books. His name is Benjamin Baruch. Benjamin is a chartered financial analyst and a certified public accountant. Benjamin was a managing institutional investment, doing institutional investment portfolios in the 1990s when he began praying and asking the Lord to show him the end of the matter regarding the stock market. After a year of prayer, The Lord answered him, but rather than revealing the future of the stock market, the Lord showed him literally judgment, which is coming upon America. Kind of a surprise, like our last guest, he started off to look at some burial mounds and he found giants. What can you say about that? Anyway, Benjamin released his first book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand, in 1998. It's now in its seventh edition. So get the book, and let's just bring him on. We've talked to him and talked about him enough. Let's just bring him on. Are you there with me, Benjamin?
Hey, Pastor Dan. How are you?
Well, I'm glad to have you on, and I was just thinking about it. You know, your programs are, for the folks, your programs that you did on this radio program are still back in radio archives, and people still listen to them, even after, I don't know, it's been a while, but they still listen to those other radio programs. Anyway, so how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great, brother. I'm excited to see what God has next in store for his people. And it's an exciting time to be alive.
Yes, amen. And, you know, I think it's exciting. You fascinate me as well as my previous guest. I was talking to him. He did a book called The Nephilim Chronicles, and he wrote two books, and he did 15 years worth of field research, you know, and discovering on burial mounds in Ohio. But he like you, he didn't start off to find giants, you know what I mean? He started off to research on some burial mounds. He didn't know it was going to lead to giants. You prayed about the stock market and you found the about judgment. So that's fascinating to me.
Amen. It is kind of that's kind of the way the Lord works, though, isn't it? You know, we start out looking for one thing and God leads us to another. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. You know, when I first come out of the world and I got saved and I went to was invited to a prophets and pastors and apostles conference, you know, and I basically just went to help out. And then I had two ministers, you know, pour oil on me and anoint me with a certain calling, which I don't need to go into that. But point being is, and then, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to go out and do all these things for the Father. I ended up doing something completely different. But I've been so greatly blessed in what he has me do that I have no complaints at all. Just different direction, though.
Amen. Well, thank you for inviting me back. I thought perhaps you had read the new book, Out of the Darkness, and you wanted me on to talk about the book. But I got from the introduction, you haven't had a chance yet to read the pages.
I really haven't. Brother, the last couple of weeks so much has come in since you got it. I can't wait to do it. I'm going to try and read it over this weekend, over the Sabbath, then I'll bring you back on and talk about it. But really, this thing that you sent me with a few notes on it, I'd kind of like to talk about maybe this coming, the coming of the Black Prince. Maybe we can talk about that and a few of those things. And then I'll have you on in a couple of weeks, and we'll do these books.
Well, sure, absolutely, yeah. The Black Prince, which is really another name for the Antichrist. The coming of the Black Prince is really just the coming of the Antichrist, and I guess I never really understood that he calls himself the Black Prince. I guess it's kind of like a secret name that he uses, but his little secret is out, and I stumbled onto the information about the Black Prince in the beginning of 2014. I had been fasting and praying for the first 2 months on kind of a recurring basis, fasting for like 3 days and then having a meal and then fasting for 3 more days and... You know, really going on like that for about 2 months, and the Lord began speaking a very profound things to me. He started out by talking to me about the life of Job and the prophetic significance of the life of Job and what's hidden within the scriptures in the book of Job. And, you know, I had studied, I went to graduate school at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, Israel, in 2013, and so I learned to read and write in Hebrew. And I'm certainly no Hebrew scholar by any means, but I know my alphabet and I know the language well enough to work my way through the Hebrew text. And so I began to study the book of Job, and I started looking in the Hebrew. And there are things in the Hebrew that just really aren't, that they're not readily apparent from the English. But the Lord began to speak and bring forth a deeper meaning, the prophetic significance of Job. And Job is the first chapter of Volume 2. And I won't steal the thunder because the message of Job is about 3 hours long. But Job is on YouTube. And so if you guys want to just hear the message of Job, just type in Benjamin Baruch and the name Job, and you'll probably find the teaching. But in any event, after Job, the Lord said to me, I want to speak to you about that woman, Jezebel. And, of course, Jezebel is that prophetess who came deceiving the saints of God. And the Lord pointed her out in the letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. And he referred to her in the book as that woman, Jezebel. And so an entire message on unmasking the false prophets came forth. And that's also on the YouTube channels if you guys want to go hear the Jezebel message. It's pretty amazing as well. And it's also in Volume 2. And then after the Jezebel study, which really unveils some of the prophecies in the book of Ezekiel, which I had never understood, Dan, the prophecy about the false prophets, how they tied the pillows on the hands of the people, the pillowcases in Ezekiel chapter 13. I could never understand that chapter until the Lord began speaking about it. And then I went and studied it in the Hebrew, and it's amazing. But then after the message and the revelation of that woman, Jezebel, then the Lord told me, I want you to go and study the meaning of the black horse of the book of Revelation. And so I started studying everything I could get my hands on regarding that black horse. And, of course, the word black, it appears in the scripture 18 times. And it represents absence of light and that which is covered in darkness, as in a black night that is soiled or stained. It represents a time that is dismal for all. It's a time that's harmful and evil, a time when wicked ones will rule and where the ones who come with a black heart will be in power. The rule of the dark ones, I call it. Black represents censure and disgrace, disaster and misfortune, and it foretells the coming of the dark ones. These are the ones whose garments are black as the garments of the black prince, for these are his servants. And their reign comes in secret at first. They set up their world government through covert means, as the kingdom of darkness was brought to power through what they call black op programs, which the governments in the West have been doing in the shadows. It's actually been under the direction of the beast, and yet it's all been hidden in the darkness. So this word for black is kadar, and it means to mourn in sackcloth, to have soiled garments that are blackish and darkened. So as I began studying this black horse and looking at, you know, the significance, and the black horse follows the red horse, the very first judgment, the breaking of the first seal in the book of Revelation, we see four horses come forth, and the first seal, of course, is the white horse. And he's wearing white, as if he were a good guy. And he has a crown. And that crown, it represents he's seen by the world as a legitimate ruler. This is an empire and a world power that the nations all looked up to, because he was a force for good. He was fighting for peace and democracy. And thus, the nations of the world considered him the legitimate ruler of the world in the time of the end. But yet he had a bow, and he goes forth to conquer and conquering. And he may have been a force for good in prior years, but at the time of the end, when the book of Revelation is unveiling, he comes forth under the dominion of the beast. And what he really is doing with all of the global wars that he's been starting, allegedly to promote peace and democracy, of course, but he's actually been rolling out the New World Order, which he's the champion of, having founded the One World Government model of the United Nations, which is modeled after the White Horse's own central government, a union of independent states that have all joined together. Of course, the rider on the White Horse is easy to identify because he lives in a White House. And he tells the world that he's a force for good. But nothing could be further from the truth in the time of the end, because his institutions of power, his media, and all of his global corporations have come under the dominion of the Black Prince. And so he's being manipulated by the men behind the curtain, and he's actually doing the bidding of the evil ones. But what will follow will be the Red Horse, which of course is World War. And that's the War of Ezekiel 38. And of course the Reds, red is the color of war, and we also know the Reds are the communists and the Arabs, the terrorist alliance, and they will bring the war. And they will bring the end of the rule of the White Horse. The White Horse, the eagle's wings will be plucked, and then the lion, the beast, the destroyer of the Gentiles. The lion has emerged from the grass and from his hiding place, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on its way, it says in the prophecies. So the lion will be lifted up above the earth, and the Antichrist kingdom will come to power immediately following the judgments of the red and then the black horse. And the Lord told me they will come together as a red and black judgment. The black horse will follow immediately after the war. And of course, the black horse is a global collapse, a total system collapse of the whole earth, because if the great daughter of Babylon is destroyed, in a world war in which over a billion people are killed in a global nuclear exchange, then the world economy itself will also lay in ruins. And if the United States is destroyed, which is one of the major food-producing countries, the world's populations face starvation as well. So the time of the Black Horse will be a time of incredible hardship for the Earth. And as I was studying all of this, Dan, a good friend of mine contacted me, and this was in the very first part of 2014.
Right.
This friend of mine is a pretty connected guy. He knows a lot of people in the intelligence business. And he started to brief me that the Russian newspapers were forecasting some incident that was going to occur. They were predicting an incident would occur around the Black Sea, and that incident would become the trigger for World War III. And this was being taken seriously enough that the major Russian newspapers were publishing this report, and it was based on Russian astrologers. But nothing gets in the major media in Russia unless the government sanctions it. And we don't realize this in the West, but the Russian Communist Party, which is still in power behind the scenes through all of the men that have kind of slipped in from the KGB. They've now become the oligarchs of semi-free Russia. But the same power structure is still calling all the shots. These men are steeped in deep occultism, and they are steeped in astrology. The KGB even has an entire division devoted to astrology. They have office buildings full of mathematicians running supercomputers tracking the stars, even as the Nazis were captured by the idea of astrology. So the reports had come out that there was something in the stars foretelling a war that would start related to some incident on the Black Sea. Well, I told my friend, I said, listen, I don't follow astrology. That's just a big satanic counterfeit.
Right.
But the Bible tells us that God made signs in the stars.
Yeah, sure.
And I've studied the stars from a biblical perspective, and it's really as simple as looking at this, each star that is part of each constellation, and studying the name of each star, and going back and deciphering what the meaning of the name of each star is. And the names of all the stars within each constellation will pretty much tell you the meaning of the constellation. It's
right,
not something
right.
hidden. It's in plain view. You know, God put the signs up for us to see. They're not hidden like the things of the occult, but they're in plain sight.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple of small things before we go to break. I know what you mean about astrology. I had somebody on here that explained that to us. A woman did in great detail. That's what she was. And it became really amazing, everything she was saying, because she did just that. She went to the name and said, well, okay, this is what it means, and explained it. Really fascinating. On the Russians, I do, you know, I spend at least 3 or 4 hours at the least in the news practically every day, except for the Sabbath or when I'm at the mission church. And when I'm at the mission church, I still have it on. So I monitor certain things. I have filters, and so I monitor the Russians, and they are incredibly getting ready for war with all their overflights and testing our boundaries and all the things. It would not surprise me if they're even trying to provoke us into an incident or trying to get us to the point that we're at now. They said the other day that the United States is going to quit going up and meeting these planes every time they do because they're not doing anything. Well, that's what they want them to do, is to quit going up and checking them out. But anyway, so yeah, Russia is on the brink, and I guess you can tell us how much when we come back. But explain to us how you get your website and the name of your new books, and then we'll go to break.
Okay. Well, the website is my name, Benjamin Baruch. It's Benjamin, BARUCH.com, and it's also going to have a .net and I think a .org soon, but BenjaminBaruch.com works just fine. And the book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand, be sure to get the 7th edition. And some of the resellers are offering a used version. If you click on Amazon and you look at the 7th edition, resellers will tell you, oh, you can get a used, practically new version. It's not the 7th edition.
Right.
And the 7th edition has got substantially new information in it. So you don't want to read a copy that was published in 2002 or 1998. You want the 2014 version, which contains all the information about the Black Prince and the Star of Bethlehem, and I could go on and on. There's about 40 pages of new information, and it's the most powerful material in the book, for sure. So be sure to get the 7th edition. Now, you'll find it on Amazon.com, and you can also get Search the Scriptures, the Volume 1, Out of the Darkness, Volume 2, You Shall Know the Truth, and they're all available for next to nothing in Kindle format if you want to read them on your computer, or the paper copies
okay.
are also available.
Let me break in. We've got to go. We'll come back and talk about it. We'll be back, folks, in 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
And an important message from Donald Trump and Americans for Limited Government.
While I'm a Republican, right now some in the Republican Party are working overtime to hand more power to President Obama. These same people are turning their backs on the American workers and businesses. It's unbelievable. I learned a long time ago, a bad deal is far worse than no deal at all. And the Obama Trans-Pacific Partnership and Fast Track are a bad, bad deal. For American businesses, for workers, for taxpayers, it's a huge set of handouts for a few insiders that don't even care about our great, great America. Congress has to stand up and defeat this raw power grab. With the dismal Obama track record, why should a Republican Congress give him more power and gut the Constitution to do it? It's just crazy. Tell your congressman and senator, vote no on Fast Track.
Take action at ObamaTrade.com. ObamaTrade.com.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, you know, right now I always ask you to pray about a donation for work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And, of course, the homeless are poor, but the poor people we're talking about is, you know, because we give these folks a relationship, we create a relationship with them, which leads to a relationship with Messiah. But, you know, over the years, over 15 years of doing it, they come back for other things or come back as friends to say hi. But I want to present something to you that just came to me at break time, and it thought something that you ought to know about the homeless and poor. Now, a lot of you folks out there are middle-class people, and you work hard every day, and that's a good thing, you know. You're trying to provide for your families, and while we're getting better and better away from generations that do camping and know how to survive without electricity, you know, a lot of you, that's, if you turned out, in fact, do this test. Just one day, just turn off the lights and then figure out what you're going to do. You know, are you prepared for that? Are you really prepared for that? And then are you prepared for the people outside to start riding or maybe come knocking on your door because that you have food and things and they don't? But you need to think about those things. But, you know, what has come to me, and I've prayed about it before, I just thought about telling you about it tonight. You know, a lot of these guys that you think that the homeless, a lot of them, most of them are saved. Most of them believe that things are going to get much, much worse. Most of these folks are very accomplished campers and survivors. And a lot of them, they go all winter long without going to the shelter by their own choice. Because they don't want to be told what to do. They are free Americans. And, you know, you think, well, why don't some of them get a job? Well, you know, a lot of folks do, a lot of them do, that work. They just can't afford to also pay rent someplace. But here's my point. So when, you know, when everything falls apart and you're living in a big city, you know what? Some of these very homeless people that you passed on the street that are born again Christians, so to speak, are, might be the person that saves your life, that teaches you how to survive outside when there's nothing there. There's no water. There's no gas. There's no utilities. There's no food. That homeless person may become the leader, will become leaders of different groups. The Father will rise them up because they're being risen up right now. I should know. I talk to them, and I watch them, and I know they survive, and they know what's coming. So you need better pray about that, is my thought, is that if you see homeless people where you're at, make sure that you extend some kindness to them, because you never can tell. One of these days, you may need that person. He may be the person that leads you out of the city, leads you safely through all the fighting and riots and everything that's on fire in the city, and leads you through that mess to where you can get out. And the Father will use them because he placed them there for that reason. So you pray about that. Anyway, pray about helping us with the Father's Little Mission Church. We do need your help, because it's only people like you that listen to this radio program that has made this mission church survive for 15 years. And folks, we are the, as we are the last hope for so many, you're the last hope for so many. We're all responsible to care one for another, as we are a brother's keeper. No matter, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And you know what? The Father notices all donations that come from your heart. And there's another thing. What good will riches and extra money in the bank do you when everything falls apart or a Russian missile hits down in the next city from you? What good is your riches going to do? You could have stored up treasure in heaven. And no, you don't have to give it to me. You can give it to the people that are taking care of the poor in your neighborhood if you want. But pray about a donation for us. Anyway, you can donate online by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or you can simply call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now we're back talking with Benjamin Baruch. He's been talking basically about the Antichrist and his coming, and he also has two new books out. Search the Scriptures, you shall know the truth, and Search the Scriptures out of the darkness. I haven't had a chance to read the books. I've been glancing through it, and it looks to me like, and I'm going to ask him when he comes back on, that these are the kind of books that you need to read, because it has passages in here that talk about how to survive in this coming time. Anyway, welcome now back. Benjamin, are you right there with me?
Hey, brother, I'm right here.
Okay, in brief, aren't these books, would they help them in the time that's coming, or is this telling them what's coming?
No, the Day of the Lord is at Hand contains the instructional prophecies on what to do about what's coming, how to prepare, and what we're called to do based on the instructions that are in the Bible. Because when the Lord showed me the judgment, and I asked him, what should we do? He said, search the Scriptures, for the detailed instructions for this hour are in the Word of God, and the Day of the Lord is at Hand outlines and summarizes those instructions. And then my new book, really, it's not my book, it's the new book the Lord's having me type for him, Search the Scriptures, is a 7-volume set. The purpose of the new book is to equip the believer who is called to be among the remnant. And the very first volume, Out of the Darkness, is dealing with the issues of our heart and dealing with the dark counsel of this world that has brought deception into our minds, a deception so subtle that we don't even know that it's inside of us. And then also to uncover the ministries of death, the many counterfeits that are out there. And then lastly, to reveal what God's doing in the lives of the people he calls his first fruit, which is his remnant. And you know what we need to do if we want to be in the remnant, because the remnant is getting ready. They're cleaning their garments, and they're searching their hearts, and they're making sure their lamps are full of oil. And So both books were meant to equip the remnant believer for this hour. You know, we all know this is coming. And honestly, I don't need more news about the fact that the book of Revelation is about to occur. I mean, I realize it's coming. It's going to be worse than we can imagine, but the Lord's going to protect a remnant. I need to know what to do to be part of that remnant, because, you know, if I'm not part of the remnant, I'm just going to be one of the martyrs, and the martyrs are going to be, many of them will be martyred quite quickly and don't really need to know the rest of the story because they'll be watching it from heaven. And I know I've been called to minister to the ones the Lord is calling as his remnant. They have to be equipped to endure this hour because they're going to walk through it, and they're walking through all of it for the rapture of the church, if you want to use the word rapture, occurs at the last trumpet, as Paul tells us. And the last trumpet occurs after the tribulation, which is what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses, I think it's 29 to 31. So we're walking through this thing before we meet the Lord in the clouds. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. Amen. I agree. Holy. So let's get back into what we were talking about, I reckon. I don't know if you had quite finished up with what you were saying about the Antichrist.
I was just setting the foundation, and let me try to go a little quicker to the conclusion so we can then talk about it.
Okay.
Let me just pick up with, I was studying the Black Horse, and then I began to look at the Black Prince. And then a friend of mine called me and said that something was coming on the Black Sea. And so I went and studied the stars over the Black Sea. And Dan, the picture in the stars is basically warning the church that the Great War, World War III, is coming. Worldwide persecution is coming. And the judgment of God is coming. And it's coming right quick. It's coming very fast upon us. And we must get ready. But then as I was studying the stars, I found a star I'd never seen before. And it turns out it's the Star of Bethlehem returned in the heavens. And if we have time before the program ends, I'll go into some of the details. But as I was looking at this, I started to wonder, what is the relationship between the Black Sea, which is going to be the trigger for the World War, and the coming of the Black Horse that will usher in the rule of the Black Prince? I started wondering, you know, how does the Black Sea relate to this? A friend of mine said to me, we were talking, and I made the comment, you know, a lot of people are listening, but nobody hardly is doing anything. He said, yeah, everybody's just moseying around. And I said, mosey, that's an interesting word. It reminds me of the nursery rhyme, pockets full of posy, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. And it's the nursery rhyme from the Black Plague. So I began to wonder, could there be a relationship between the Black Plague and the Black Sea and the Black Prince? Might they somehow all be related? So I started researching the Black Plague, which is called the Black Death. And it's really amazing. But the Black Plague came to England in the year 1348 on the 33rd day of spring, which was the 23rd day of April. The servants of darkness did something that caused God to send the Black Plague. And that was exactly 666 years ago. I thought, well, that's an interesting number. 666. The servants of the Black Prince did something 666 years ago. What did they do? They formed the Council of the Elders of the Beast, which they call the Order of the Garter. And it's 24 elders who are the servants of the Black Prince. 12 of them are dedicated as servants of the Black Prince, and 12 of them are dedicated to the service of the monarch, the throne. The two of them make up two satanic covens of 13 witches and warlocks that are the king, witches, and warlocks over all the satanic churches of the earth. And the amazing thing, Dan, the 24 elders of the beast, and this is a mockery by Satan of the 24 elders of the book of Revelation who worship before the Lamb in the heavens. But these 24 elders of the beast, they call themselves Olympians because they brought the fire down from that fell from heaven. They brought it to the earth, the revelation of Lucifer. And their symbol, rather than showing a pentagram as the symbol of their power, they chose to use five circles, Dan. Five
really?
Interconnected rings, and the five rings represent the five-pointed star that is hidden within the magic circle of power. And so this satanic group of elders who called themselves Olympians, their symbol was five interconnected rings, which, of course, is the symbol of the Olympics we all know and love.
Right.
And it turns out in 2012, the Olympics were held on the shores of the Black Sea. Pardon me, I think it was 2014. They were held on the shores of the Black Sea at the end of winter. And the whole world would cheer the Festival of Lights put on by the Illuminati. Only this time they would cheer from the shores of the Black Sea. So I began to research the Black Sea. Dan, there's a book that it's on the internet written by a couple Russian scientists.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, they present scientific evidence of several things. Number one, the flood of Noah is real, and it really occurred. Number two, the epicenter of the judgment of God in the days of Noah was the Black Sea. And the Black Sea was cursed in the time of the judgment of Noah. And as a result, the sea water turned into poison. In antiquity, it was known as the Sea of Prosperity, and it was a freshwater inland sea. And all of the world's greatest cities were on the coast of the Sea of Prosperity. But when God judged the world in the time of Noah, he destroyed those cities, and the ruins of those cities today are 90 kilometers under the water of the Black Sea. And from that level down, the water is still poisoned. And they go through all the science of how God poisoned the fresh water and how it's gradually been cleansed over the 5,000 years or so by a chemical interaction of the rainfall and the sunlight. But the water at the bottom of the sea is still poisoned. And the amazing thing, and there's an entire book about the Black Sea and how it's related to the judgment of God. But here we are, and once again, the trigger point for World War III is going to come forth out of the Black Sea. And, you know, at the time, people were speculating maybe there's going to be an incident at the Olympics, the Winter Olympics in 2014. Well,
right.
No, that wasn't it. But right after the Olympics, Russia invaded Ukraine and occupied Crimea.
Yeah.
And so we've got the beginning of the war between the East and the West on the shores of the Black Sea.
Yeah,
isn't
absolutely.
That amazing? This world war is what's going to usher in the reign of the Black Prince, which is the name for the Antichrist. And, you know, the Antichrist, he comes from a royal family. He's a prince. The scripture talks about him as the prince that shall come. And on his coat of arms, Dan, in Latin, the inscription reads, "I, the Black Prince, serve the Red Dragon." And doesn't
really?
That really tell you who he is?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, today they were talking about how Russia just today has started their incursion back into Ukraine again. And so it's not over. And, you know, like I was talking before about all the overflights and all those things, the excuse that they always use is that they were showing the world that that they are strong, and that, per se, it's all about the Ukraine, that they don't want to be stopped from what they're doing with Ukraine. Ukraine could be the trigger point.
Oh, it most certainly is. You know, it's interesting. On September 11th, 9/11, and that's kind of
right.
A big day in American history at this point, but I'm talking back in the 1920s, in the year 1923, Dan, the Black Sea exploded in flames.
Really?
And they called it the Lake of Fire. On 9/11 in 1923, there were massive earthquakes. Huge methane gas releases occurred, and the methane exploded. And the sea, the Black Sea, turned into nothing more than a huge sea of fire. And the newspaper headlines in that region the next day read, "The Black Sea has become the Lake of Fire." And is that
wow.
Ever amazing?
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Did you get that out of that book? Amazing.
I'll email you the book. I have it in PDF. These are not even believers. These are Russian scientists, and they go through, it's a couple hundred pages, they go through all the science and the evidence to basically say there's evidence that the biblical account of the flood of Noah is real. There really was a Noah. There really was a flood. Now, we know that. We who know the Lord, of course there was a Noah. But, you know, to the unbelieving world, this is like shocking news. That God's word's true. Ha!
Yeah, ha, exactly. Absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't surprise us. Of course the flood of Noah occurred. But, Dan, the fascinating thing, and, you know, it would take an entire program to go through all the detail. There is a ton of evidence that the judgment of God in the days of Noah, the epicenter of that judgment was the shores of the Black Sea. And here we are again on the eve of the final judgment of the earth, and Jesus said it'll be just like the days of Noah. Well, one of the things that happened in the days of Noah, the trigger point was the Black Sea. And here we are again, the trigger point is the Black Sea and a country called Ukraine. And a territory called Crimea. The crime scene is in Crimea. That's where World War III is going to begin.
You know, I don't believe in coincidences. You know, I believe that, you know, he sets things in events, and they happen again. It's just like that, you know. What I really find fascinating, again, here we go. I don't like to keep referring to my other program, but that was the deal in the other program that came through. Finding all of the bodies of the giants and the place where the giants were at confirmed the Bible. But see, those things are coming forth and coming open, just like you're talking about this book that was written a while back. It's coming open now as a witness in this time that we're getting close. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. We're knocking on the door.
Yeah, and so I believe many more things will come to pass that we'll see open up and see things that we thought were we as believers didn't think were mysteries, but to the world they were, like the flood, like the giants, so on and so forth. I believe we'll see a lot of proof in the near future. What do you think?
I think so. I think, you know, Jesus said everything that was covered would be unveiled and be revealed, and I think the truth is coming out. You know, it's coming out all over the place. And, you know, Satan's tried to hide the truth and cover it up with a bunch of lies, but the Lord is going to bring the revelation of truth. And, you know, for the nations, it will be a day late and a dollar short, because it says when he appears in the heavens, they're going to be weeping. And, you know, even though he's coming, they will know that they're not saved because they never repented. And then everything's going to be revealed. But, you know, it's incumbent upon us who are the believers to come to the point of true repentance. But, you know, the problem we have, Dan, the human heart is deceitfully wicked, and we don't know what's inside of us. And that is what Out of the Darkness is all about. And the people that have read it, a fair number of them, and I really, brother, once you start reading this book, you're not going to want to put it down. And it's really, it's written at a very, you know, it's written at a level where even your old kids in junior high could read the book, but it penetrates your heart. It's written in it, you know, if you read it and all you hear is the word in your mind, it'll be an interesting read, but maybe not so important to you. But if you read it and it touches your heart, it's going to change your life. And a large number of people that have read the book, they write emails or they call me and they say, brother, I read the book. It's changed my life. I'm reading it again.
Yeah,
you know, how many books do you read the book and feel like your life changed, and then you just start over? You go right back to the very first page and you just start reading it a second time.
Not very many.
You didn't get the full...
I jokingly said not very many. I read tons of books because I do radio, and I try to pride myself on reading the people's books so when I talk to them, I can talk with a legitimate conversation about their book. And there's not many that I reread, except the only book that I really reread, spend that much time in is the Bible. So if this book is that way and I read it a second time, it did something for me.
Oh, amen. Well, I feel the same way. I mean, I reread the Bible constantly. I've probably read the Bible I don't even know how many times. I don't ever stop reading the Scriptures.
Yeah, and absolutely.
The reason is that they're the words of truth. Well, this new series, the Lord told me, I want you to write a series of books. I want 7 volumes entitled the book Search the Scriptures, and I want you to use the teachings that I've given you. And so the message is the content of the Search the Scriptures book is the messages that the Lord has given me to teach over the years. It's just the average person does not have 300 hours to sit down and listen to, you know, 40 or 50 audio files that are archived on the Internet. Now, some people do, but most people don't have the time. So the most important messages are being reproduced in these books, and this is stuff that came forth by the Holy Spirit. I am really merely the typist, and Volume 1 has 4 parts: Matters of the Heart, Dark Counsel, Ministry of Death, and First Fruit. And if you don't have the, you know, you're not interested in reading, you're not a person that likes to read, but you like to listen to teachings, all you have to do is go on YouTube and search for Matters of the Heart, Dark Counsel, Ministry of Death, and First Fruit, the teachings that I brought on those 4 subjects, and you will have Volume 1, Out of the Darkness, in audio format. But if you prefer to have it...
I'm going to have to break in. We've got less than a minute before you got to go. So tell them where your website's at, and I'll have to get you out of here, and we'll do it again. I'm going to read these books over the weekend, and we'll talk about them. But,
sounds great. The website, BenjaminBaruch.com. You'll find all this work on Amazon.com. If you just type in my name, Benjamin Baruch, it'll take you to all the work that's up on Amazon.com if you want the books. If you just want the messages, go to YouTube and type in Benjamin Baruch and type in the messages.
All right. Well, you be blessed, brother, and we'll talk again. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Dan. God bless you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. Well, folks, pray about the things that have been said in this program. Make sure you check our archives. But, you know, when I ask you to donate, let's go with this. I want to tell you a little story. You know, there's an old story of a couple that's about to be married. You know, they lived in a small village, and they invited everyone from the village to their wedding. Kind of like radio. We invite everyone from the world to listen to a radio program. And each guest was asked to bring a jug of wine for the celebration. Each jug of wine would be poured into a giant vat to be shared by everyone. As the wedding day approached, each member of the village thought, well, if I do not bring my jug of wine, it won't be missed among so many other jugs of wine. Really? Well, the wedding day arrived, and the couple were married, and everyone was so greatly excited. But as the tap of the vat was opened so they could do their celebration, not a drop of wine flowed from it. For everyone was sure that somebody else would provide their share, or in this case, a donation. Folks, we need your help. Pray about it. Lift us up in prayer. Remember, there is only one God, that He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others, please. And make sure your family's saved. I mean, witness to them. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.